This is Werewolf the Podcast. High Level Games, the industry's first choice in taking your games to the next level. We are a podcast, blog, and new media network at highlevelgames.ca. We have blog posts about all of your favorite games going up 5 days a week, and a podcasting network with actual plays and shows that discuss role-playing games, with more rolling out all the time. We are on iTunes, Twitch, and YouTube. Find out more information at highlevelgames.ca, a site that certainly isn't controlled by a shadowy board of directors of otherworldly origin. That's highlevelgames.ca.
Please, help. They're coming. I began Baron von Kalt's dream analysis today. I had bid him before to try and remember his dreams and to write them down, with no editing, to describe them as they were. He did this, as he does everything, diligently. His dream was fascinating and revealing. He found himself in a dark forest. He looked about and saw his ancestral castle on a ridge above him, towering over the pines. It was a place far away and beyond his reach, a holy mountain sanctuary. He could not hope to get there, caught in the wild as he was. He tried nonetheless, and soon heard the howling of wolves on his path. He was quite scared, and kept running around, looking for signs of them. Finally, he found the path leading up to the summit. He hurried up it, but as he passed only a few yards, the wolves broke through the forest edge behind him, slavering and howling. They pursued him madly, surely out for his blood. He awoke as the first wolf reached him. This dream is full of the symbology I expected. His family home, the place of his worldly position, is seen as a far sanctuary. Now lost, the wolves are his dangerous pursuers, and he is their prey. They represent to him sin, fast overtaking his strongly willed reserve. I must convince him to stay and confront the wolves, for they obviously represent his hidden Geru nest, the wolf in all of our kind. I will see him tomorrow, and help him through a controlled dream experiment, using mild hypnosis. From the journals of Dr. Leopold Valkenberg. Welcome to Werewolf the Podcast. This is your host, Josh Heath, and today we are going to be reviewing a book that I am excited to review, and that is Valkenberg Foundation. Valkenberg Foundation is the fifth book ever published for the Werewolf the Apocalypse game line, and if there was a single book from first edition Werewolf that I would recommend to every single storyteller and player, it would absolutely be Valkenberg Foundation. This book is amazing. Now, I have this particular book in a collection called Werewolf Chronicles Volume 1, and that includes Rite of Passage and Valkenberg Foundation. And honestly, the two books do connect to one another and could work very easily together. There's also some references to connections with Rage Across New York, and if you wanted to use that book as a background to this particular story, you could do so. So Valkenberg Foundation is two things. It's a short setting book and then a five-part story chronicle. And as a story chronicle, I have actually used elements of Valkenberg Foundation in nearly every single Werewolf the Apocalypse story that I have run since getting this book. This is the introduction to a few concepts and NPCs who are very important to the World of Darkness in the long run, some that become jokes and some that are just useful and interesting. That said, when we get to those characters, I'll be talking about them a little bit more in particular. Now, this is the first starting fiction in a first edition Werewolf book that I like. The way it's presented in this particular book is interesting. It's diary entries for Dr. Valkenberg. Now, the Valkenberg Foundation is the background to... So the Valkenberg Foundation is a organization that helps werewolves that have either been unable to have their first change or for some reason have lost connection to sanity. So these werewolves are experiencing some form of mental illness or mental block that's preventing them from changing. And as a concept that's interesting. It's interesting to say, okay, if you're a werewolf and you're used to fighting these battles, what happens when you get PTSD or when you have other forms of mental trauma that continue to make things difficult for you as a veteran, as a veteran that served in a combat zone? These concerns, these concepts are, of course, interesting to me from that perspective, but I think they're presented in a way that is fairly effective. Going back a little bit, this book was written by Bill Bridges, Phil Brucato, Jay Morrison, William Spencer Hale, and Richard Strong. It was developed by Bill Bridges, and it has really effective art, cover art by John Cobb, Chris DiNardo, Jeff Rebner, Joshua Gabriel Timbrook, Brian Wachwitz, Lawrence Allen Williams, to name just a couple of the people that are involved. Also, Michelle Prahler was involved in the layout, as was Sam Chupp. So, just a couple of people that were involved. There are a lot of names in the credits here, all who definitely deserve a lot of credit for creating a really cool book. The contents of Valkenburg are the introductory story, The Legends of the Garou Shadow of Wolf, which is the journal entries by Dr. Valkenburg. It's an introduction about the Foundation, the werewolves that are kept as what they call inmates at the Foundation. And then you have five different stories and the appendix of characters that are referenced in the stories but haven't been presented prior to in any of the individual story sections. So the Valkenburg Foundation is in Wyoming, and it appears to be territory that is divided between the Children of Gaia, who are involved in the Foundation, and the Wendigo and the Red Talons, who view this area as their territory, but are not obviously directly involved in the Foundation. There is a couple of maps, there are, of the Valkenburg Foundation, the area around it. As these games go on, you see less and less things like maps and elements like that, but I think it's helpful, particularly in this particular type of chronicle, to have something like a map of the area that you might be interacting with. It's a visual element that's potentially really helpful for players to have access to. I know that some story-focused gamers don't like having maps, don't like having miniatures, and I get that. I have generally avoided those things, but I think in this case, there are times that a map and miniatures can be helpful. It can help your players conceptualize what's going on in the space that they're in. So using maps effectively, but not overly relying on maps and miniatures can be helpful, and I think there are some things here that connect to that. In this segment, you also learn about the different werewolves that are inmates in the institution. Really briefly, there are eight werewolves currently kept as patients in this facility. Their backgrounds are interesting. Some of them are more important to the stories. Some of them are just presented as flavor and possible hooks for other stories that you could dive into as a storyteller in use of the Valkenburg Foundation. So as we mentioned before, the Valkenburg Foundation is set up to help werewolves that have either been unable to go through their first change or are having some other mental illness concerns. And each of these stories that are presented, the five different stories, can be connected as one larger chronicle, or you can use them as individual stories in an entirely different chronicle. That's something that I really enjoy about this, is you can actually grab these different elements and use them in so many different ways. I think that's really helpful. So story one is When the Wolfsbane Blooms. And this is designed as the hook to get the players involved in working for the Foundation. It's a way for the players to become what is called the Questing Pack. And the Questing Pack is a pack of werewolves that has historically been connected with the Foundation. So you're given that hook, and that hook could be through the Sept of the Green in New York, which connects to Rage Across New York, it connects to Werewolf the Apocalypse First Edition, and it connects to Rite of Passage. All of these books clearly developed with intentional connections with them. You're supposed to kind of use them as a way of easing yourself into the game and learning it and see what developers had in mind for the particular game line and where they saw it going. In this story, you're presented with Orson Gravely, known as Graveseeker. And Graveseeker is a werewolf that was known to your sept but has disappeared. Find out he's actually in the Valkenburg Foundation. So go and you seek him out. get to the Valkenburg Foundation, and most werewolves, of course, would assume that something bad has happened. And wait, they get there, and there are kinfolk running this place, and they're interested in what's going on. They knew you were coming. They know who you're looking for, and they're as open as could be. But there are secrets in the Foundation. And I'm not going to reveal those secrets, but if you were a storyteller and you want to use some really interesting plot points, dig into this book. Dig into the idea of attempted goodness, but there being darkness inside there as well. And what does that darkness mean when it's intended to be hopeful? I think that's one of the most interesting things about this book as a whole, as it's constantly reinforcing the theme of hope, but wait, in that hope, there is potential darkness.
Hello, folks. Have you ever wished you could have an easy way to find gameplay videos and podcasts, or just media in general that deals with your favorite White Wolf role-playing games? Or have you ever wished you could find a forum to share gameplay that you have recorded, one which wouldn't be drowned out by random posts and discussion, so that your media could get the attention you want? Well, we have the answer for you in a Facebook group we run called White Wolf RPGs Gameplay and Media. The group is specifically ran with the sole intent of it being a one-stop shop for people to view or share media involving the games we all love. We take thorough steps to ensure the page does not become cluttered and is easy to traverse. We are currently over 1,000 members strong, and we are continuing to rapidly grow, with new media being shared every day. Stop on by. We hope to see you there.
Story 2 is Hostile Takeover, and this actually brings you back to New York and focuses on Harold Masters. Harold Masters is a glasswalker that never went through his first change. From a antagonist standpoint, Masters is really interesting. He's not evil per se. He's not trying to do anything that the players would actively be against, but he represents a rending of the veil. He represents the possibility of someone knowing about the werewolves, not being connected to society. What if he rages and kills somebody, and then werewolves are exposed in some way to the world? What does that mean? And what does it mean to be in New York at this time where there was this grave economic disparity between rich and poor, and there are some gang elements here that are interesting to explore, and overall, deep. There's some cool stuff here, there's some interesting concepts, and at the very core of it, the werewolves in the questing pack feel that they're helping Masters, that they're trying to get him back to the Valkenburg Foundation and get him cured. But he doesn't want that. And if he does get dragged back, those dark elements within the Foundation may get him again. He doesn't want that. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? And that leads us into Story 3. Story 3 is near and dear to my heart because it is the first presentation of a very complicated, much maligned and hated, kind of understandably so as things go on, NPC, Samuel Haight. And Samuel Haight is in this, he is a kinfolk that has discovered a way to become a werewolf. He has discovered a way of skinning other werewolves and taking their skins and himself becoming a werewolf. And in this book, with that as his hook, he is an interesting character. He goes way, way crazy as books go on, but at this stage, Samuel Haight is interesting. He has a very but he has a very direct idea of what he wants, why he wants it, and he's not really intending to be evil. In his mind, he has the right to be a Garu, and he has a connection to the Valkenburg Foundation because his two cousins are currently patients in the Foundation. So that's how it all connects into the story. Players find out about him, they find out about what he's doing, and they go and they try to stop him. The questing pack, just as they're about to prevent him, he becomes a werewolf. He enacts the ritual, and the Skinner is born, which is cool. From a concept standpoint, this is a fascinating story. It's a very werewolf story because this character, Samuel Haight, doesn't want to be evil, and yet he is connected to the worm because of his actions. Everything he's doing, he has to kill werewolves to take their skins to become a werewolf himself. That's about as worm-tainted as you can get. And he doesn't really realize it until the very end of this story, and then doesn't really know how to deal with that revelation. Now, there's some connections to Vampire the Masquerade made here even this early on with Samuel Haight. I would ignore those elements. I would remove all of the references to thaumaturgy and the Sabbat and vampires in general here. There's no need for him to be a ghoul for this ritual to work, so ignore it. But that brings us into story 4. And story 4 is probably the story that I'm least excited about in the 5 stories here, but it's still pretty good. It focuses more on the Red Talons and the local Wendigo, the characters that aren't associated with the Foundation but are near it, and what are their interactions with the Foundation like, and why? And why are they a little bit concerned about the Foundation? And all of that gets kind of explained, it gets developed in this particular story. So it's good. It is not the strongest of the 5 stories in here, but it's still incredibly useful to the overall tale that's being told. And that brings us into story 5. And story 5 is called Dark Union. And Dark Union ends up having the characters discover exactly what is wrong with Falkenberg Foundation. They learn about the darkness it's hiding in, and then they have to team up with Black Spiral Dancers. And the reason for this is pretty in-depth. I'm not going to spoil it, but the fact that the characters have to make an alliance, an arrangement with their fallen tribe of werewolves that they hate, that they would never want to work directly with, it makes them uncomfortable. They realize that they have a common enemy. And if they have this common enemy, does the enemy of my enemy, are they my friend? And if that's the case, what do they do? Now, near the end of this story, there is what I call the stereotypical Nexus Crawler arrive. The stereotypical Nexus Crawler arrives, and honestly, there's no need for such a powerful spirit to arrive unless it's the only thing that your characters could potentially face that would be a challenge to them at that point, if they have gained enough renown and enough experience points by that point in your chronicle that they need a battle of that level to challenge them. The book ends with a few NPC sheets, just some information on the various characters that you might need to run the story. That's the Falkenberg Foundation, and if I were running a chronicle and I was a new storyteller, I would use this. If I were an experienced storyteller, I would look at all of these elements and I would pull bits from it and use them in my game, even if I don't use these specific locations. As I mentioned before, I've run several stories using bits and pieces from the Falkenberg Foundation, and what I've found is things that it speaks to, themes and moods that it speaks to, are incredibly engaging to players. They want to know, why are these werewolves being held in this mental health facility? They assume something dark is going on, and when they see on the surface that nothing is dark is going on, they're confused by it, concerned, and they start to see it as a connection, a resource, a potential ally. But then when they discover that there really was darkness from the very beginning, they feel hurt, they feel abused, they want to lash out, but they can't lash out because the werewolves that initially made them want to be a part of what was going on are good, inherently. And so when faced with that dichotomy, they don't quite know what to do with themselves. Falkenberg Foundation is a fantastic chronicle resource. I am going to include links to it in our doobly-doo on the website. And if that's something that you're interested in, please click through our link. We've got an affiliate link set up, and you can make sure that you are helping keep Werewolf Podcast running while you're getting this book. And I really recommend picking it up in Werewolf Chronicles Volume 1. But if you want to, you can also get the PDF or a print-on-demand version of Falkenberg Foundation by itself at this stage. So thank you very much. I'm Josh Heath. This has been Werewolf the Podcast. Have a wonderful day.